Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $20 on the Steel MS-162 or MS-170 chainsaw. Real Steel. Offer valid through June 30th, 2024. See participating retailer for details. Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Good morning. Unless you're a Cowboy fan. It is time to skip the BS. It's time for Undisputed. It's time to talk NFL draft and Cowboys and Eagles. Here come the Eagles. With Richard Sherman and Keyshawn Johnson. Welcome back, Richard Sherman. How are you?
No, I'm doing great, Skip. How are you?
Well, we need your opinions on my Cowboys and other NFL topics. We've been sorely lacking with Keyshawn here, but we've tried to muddle through. How are you, Keyshawn?
I'm not even going to respond to you, Skip. Respond.
Okay, good. Paul Pierce will join us to talk Suns, Clippers, and Knicks in just a few minutes. But first up, my Cowboys, not surprisingly, have just announced they're bringing back Zeke. Blast from the past. This after, of course, failing to take a running back in the draft with at least two glaring opportunities to do just that. USA Today gives Jerry Jones a D, as in dog, for this draft. I'll go D plus. This after Jerry did next to nothing in free agency and needed to draft, I don't know, four or five instant impact rookies. I see maybe one, maybe. Meanwhile, back in the NFC East, the Eagles won free agency. And they got a consensus A grade from analysts for their draft, landing Mel Kiper's top two cornerbacks in the first two rounds, and Mel's favorite player, favorite prospect in this draft, Jaylix Hunt, in the third round. So, Richard Sherman, please kick us off. How much will Zeke help save the Cowboys after such a sorry offseason?
I don't know if you could put it on his shoulders to save the Cowboys necessarily. I mean, this offseason has been head scratching to say the least, because he said they're going to go all in. So if just getting Zeke is going all in, then I'm sorry, Cowboys fans, it's going to be a rough year. Maybe they'll call Dez. Maybe they'll bring the old gang back together and have, you know,
come on
a
back.
Reunion. You know,
maybe playmaker.
Call everybody.
I don't know. Yeah.
Maybe the playmaker. Maybe, know, but
he
I think.
Play. Maybe Keyshawn would come back. You thinking about it?
Maybe Keyshawn. You know, all the guys. You know, why not?
Why not? I think you could help.
Well, y'all all right, man.
Call Travis Fredericks. You know, all your great players.
Hey, yeah.
Bring them back in.
I like that. Yeah, great idea.
But I just don't, you know, the offensive line that Zeke ran behind in his prime and his best when he was at his best. You know, I think the expectations that Jerry and Cowboys fans are going to have are unrealistic for what you got, what you're getting right now from Zeke, what you're getting from this offensive line. You'll have a rookie left tackle. You got great players and Tyler Smith, but I just don't see him being the same player and having the same impact. But at least the fans don't have to buy new jerseys. You know, you can just go ahead and go in the closet, dust that jersey on off that 21 and throw it on your back. So I guess, you know, it may hurt jersey sales a little bit in Dallas, but I don't know if he's saving the team. Ugh.
You know, what am I asking of Zeke Elliott? What am I asking for him to do coming back on his second tour of duty for the Dallas Cowboys? What am I asking you to hold on to the football, pick up blitz protection, be a leader in the locker room, give us that I don't know, that force that we seem to not have, that leadership on the offensive side of the ball? Maybe those are the things that I'm asking for. It's not a splash, sexy, big money signing like Skip wants. It's a blast from the past that knows the system and understands. And when you're evaluating guys and you're looking at players in the draft and in free agency, and you look and you compare and you say to yourself, could Zeke Elliott, who understands our offense, our culture, and what we want to do, for the veteran minimum and some incentives, is he better than some kid in the fourth round, some kid in the fifth round? Is he better than Boston Scott? Is he better than Kareem Hunt? Those are the sort of things that you have to look to. Mm. You talk about the draft grade of USA Today, D for Dallas, mm-hmm. or whatever you want to call it.
Yep.
That's their saying. That's what they look. They're looking for the sexy pick. You're the low-hanging fruit in Dallas. So people are going to punch on you and beat you up because you're low-hanging fruit. Mm. It's easy. But when you look at it, Skip, in all honesty, be honest with yourself for a minute and stop always acting like, oh, my God, the world is ending. I can't believe this. When we went into this draft and we went into free agency, we identified what the Dallas Cowboys were missing, right? We identified it. Offensive line, inside linebacker, cornerback, another receiver, an edge rusher, offensive line again. And when you look at the draft, they hit on all those. That's what they did.
They hit? Really?
No, because I don't know.
Okay, when I say hit, they drafted him. They addressed those concerns. They addressed the concern of the left tackle, did they not? Where they moved to center or guard or whatever, they addressed it. Mm. They addressed the edge rusher. I don't know Marshawn Nealon at all from Western Michigan.
Thank you.
But they,
by the way, real quick point, he made third team All-Mac. You like that?
Okay, that doesn't mean anything. His skill set, his skill set may be such that it fits exactly what Mike Zimmer wants to do. Mm. Stop worrying about names. That's what y'all problem are in professional sports is y'all get caught up in the names and get caught up in statistics. When you look at it, Cooper Beebe, they drafted an interior offensive lineman. They needed one.
Yeah, I liked him, actually.
How do you say it? Maurice Lefouille or whatever from Notre Dame, the linebacker.
You were standing on the sideline. Did he catch your eye?
I don't remember, Skip, but I'm not going to lie to you. They addressed the linebacker position. You was complaining that they never, they wouldn't sign Hendricks. Well, they addressed it.
Yeah.
Cornerback, this kid from Wake Forest. Well, they addressed it. Mm. They addressed it. You talk about a receiver. They went and addressed it. Another interior lineman, they addressed it. Another D lineman, they addressed. They addressed all those issues. Now they signed the running back position, which was a question mark, and they're not done yet.
Yeah.
They're just not.
Okay.
Be happy, man.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead, Richard.
Yeah, I just don't think it's enough. And, I'm not with Skip that it's just a D for the draft because they did it. They get a starting caliber left tackle. You got an interior line that'll compete for a starting position.
Absolutely.
You know, you did that. I'm good with that. But the running back position is such an easily draftable position. You can get a quality back in the later rounds. You can get a quality back basically anywhere. You can get a quality back in free agency. I don't know if Clyde Edwards-Helaire is still out there, but there are quality backs out there. It just doesn't seem like they're all in the way Jerry said it. You know, I don't see them in on everything, having all these calls. The Eagles seemed like they were moving like a desperate team. They tied the record for trades in the draft. They were moving like a team that is trying to get back on top, trying to keep a great team, trying to move with a sense of urgency, a sense of desperation. Mm. I don't see that from the Cowboys, and it's starting to become it's odd. Obviously, Skip is discouraged by it, but, I mean, from the outside looking in, it's just odd. Don't say you're all in and you don't make no moves.
Yeah, exactly. So before I unleash, I got to ask our control room and your man, Nick, is my camera working? Because I think it was malfunctioning. Can I do this camera? Still working? Okay. I thought it was malfunctioning like Jerry Jones has been all offseason. All right. Here's the point about Ezekiel Elliott. Clearly, Jerry Jones and company announced this today to try to ease the pain over his not being able to land a single running back in the seven rounds of the draft. So it was a PR move to placate Cowboy Nation. Zeke's back. Would you believe that Zeke Elliott, in his eight NFL seasons, has gone down in yards per game every single season? That's hard to do, but he's done it. And he hit bottom in New England last year where he averaged 38 yards per game. So he went from 109 as a rookie, and his first 3 years were extraordinary. They were Hall of Fame type years. Then Jerry paid him, and he hit the wall that he used to run through. And he drops from 109 a game to 38 a game for New England last year, 3.5 yards per carry, which was a career low. And as we all remember, when he returned to Dallas for that big game, he went 6 carries for 16 yards and caught 2 balls for 6 yards. I'm sorry, I don't see it. He had one good game last year against the Jets, which was 16 carries for 80 yards. Maybe he'll help a little bit here and there on short yardage, just going blast from the past.
What are you asking him to do, though, Skip? You act like you want him to come in and rush for 1,800 yards.
They have elevated him to the top of the depth chart. Seriously?
Who said?
They announced that this morning. He's now first on the depth chart. Okay, now, Keyshawn says we're hitting on the draft. I'm going to go quickly through this for you because here's what I saw in the draft. I saw them at 24 have a player fall into their lap who would have been a perennial Pro Bowl potential player at center in Graham Barton. And I said it on Friday, you had him at 24. You're just sitting there, but you got to get cute. I'm going to get an extra third round pick. I'm going to move back to 29. And I'm going to take Tyler Guyton. Richard mentioned this. Listen, I know Tyler Guyton. I watched him for 2 years at Oklahoma after he transferred in from TCU. And he has lots of talent at 6'8" tall, but it's finesse talent. It's not fire talent. And it's going to take a while for him to develop as a left tackle. And we didn't even get into this on Friday, but you realize what Gutekunst did up in Green Bay. That's the team that kicked our asses, the youngest team in the NFL that kicked our asses in the home playoff game in which we were down 48-16 early in the fourth quarter. He sat right on top of us at 25 and took that kid from Arizona, Jordan Morgan, said, we need a left tackle. We're going to plug him right in. Because they lost Bakhtiari. So is he right and Jerry's wrong? Well, I think I'd bet on Gutekunst here because he's been really right lately in the draft. And then Tampa, 2 picks later, takes Graham Barton. And I'm thinking, what are you doing, Jerry? And we wind up with Tyler Guyton in the second round again. I don't know Marshawn Neyland either, Keyshawn. I don't know. I just look at when you're third team all MAC and they had 2 edge rushers on first team and 2 on second team. I'm a little shaky. I'm a little queasy about it because it didn't knock my socks off. Then in the third round, the one player I did like is the extra pick that Jerry got because I know Cooper Beebe from Kansas State because he's a pretty solid player. And if he can play center, maybe he could start next year. But guess who was sitting there? I told you going in. I first guessed this. Blake Corum, I just love him. I think he's got some image in him. And all he did was carry Michigan to a national championship. He was the reason, Keyshawn, that you did not love J.J. McCarthy because that was all Blake all the time, right?
Yeah.
He's sitting right there. And he went 10 picks later to the Rams. Well, I don't know. I'm going to take him because that's what we need. That is a glaring need. And then you mentioned that Leofile that they took later in the third round. Guess who's sitting there and who went 1 pick later? You know Marshawn Lloyd, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I liked him because every time I watched your team, he just jumped off my screen with explosiveness.
But that's the same guy as a duplicate, be honest with you, as Zeke. Same guy.
Okay, but he's 22 or whatever he is.
I understand that. But when you have an opportunity, Skip, to take a guy that understands your culture, what it's all about in that building, and you can sign him at the veteran minimum and you're only doing a 1-year deal, big deal. Big deal.
Okay, but do you like him?
Yeah,
did you like what you saw?
I like Lloyd.
I did.
I do. Like Lloyd.
Yeah, I would have taken him over Leofile, who's a weak side linebacker, who's like a...
But you need defensive linebacking help,
missile.
Though.
I don't know. Do we? Yeah, right. I don't know. Do we need him?
Yeah,
I don't see it.
I think you could go both. You know, I think they could have drafted him and signed Zeke. You know, that's what good programs do. That's what good franchises do. They add depth. They have quality players. They have great competition at... You know, you're taking Zeke and saying, hey, we just picked him up at the point in free agency where comp picks aren't relevant anymore, and he's going to be our starting back going forward. You know, I think that's more off-season chatter to dwell up a little bit of excitement from Cowboy Nation. But I would have thought Rico would have been the starter, you know, coming in just based off the way the depth chart fell last year. But
he's still there.
I don't know. I don't know, Skip. I'm not. What if, you know, going if they would have done this, if they would have got this guy, I think they did solid. We'll see how these guys pan out. But I don't think they did enough in free agency early on. Sure, there's more time left. Sure, there's more guys left. But the quality of players is going down day by day. I don't think. I don't know.
Richard, how many teams you played on? 3, right?
3.
You played on 3 teams. Mm-hmm. In each one of those teams, you attended some sort of something in the month of April, May, June, whatever. You were there running around the facility at some point in your career, right? And the reason I'm asking you this is, here we are sitting in the end of April, going into May. So mini camps and stuff like that are getting ready to happen in the next week or two in off-season conditioning. Skip, do you realize that a lot of these players that are currently on your roster or rosters around the league, they will be sent packing in the next month, month and a half? Some of these guys won't even make it to training camp. These are called bodies, okay? Right. I wouldn't be shocked. And I don't know Zeke's contract, if it's fully guaranteed or not. I have no idea. But I wouldn't be shocked if he got into minicamp and OTAs and all this sort of stuff, and they took a look at him, and he didn't make it to training camp.
They won't do it to Zeke.
I'm just saying,
Jerry wouldn't
I wouldn't be shocked.
He loves him too much.
I understand he loves him. That's fine. But I wouldn't be shocked. And the reason I say this is because I wouldn't be shocked if Royce Freeman is sent packing.
I would agree with that.
And now all of a sudden Kareem Hunt is available and you sign Kareem Hunt and bring him in.
Maybe.
Okay, or Cam Akers, which was so weird to me. I don't understand why he's not on the roster somewhere, but I wouldn't be shocked if you look up and Royce Freeman is sent packing and then all of a sudden there's a Cam Akers. So I wouldn't, in the end of April, Skip, go all crazy about what they look like today when they don't play again till September.
So help me out, jog my memory here. Who did the Eagles sign in free agency to play running back?
Yes.
They you love him.
Got, they went and
you
got Barkley because that's what they felt they needed.
Yeah.
They felt they needed that. Y'all clearly didn't feel that way because you didn't sign Henry and you didn't sign Barkley when both of them was available.
Thank you.
And, you didn't feel that way.
What did the Eagles do in the fourth round? They took Will Shipley out of Clemson. And every time I turn on a Clemson game, I just like the way he balled out. He ran his tail off.
He's like a little crack version of our guy in San Francisco, of McCaffrey.
Yeah.
A little crack version of McCaffrey.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'll give you that. But I kind of liked him as the backup to Saquon. I think he'll help them a little bit. So last year, go ahead, Richard.
They were all in. Yeah, the Eagles were all in. Jerry was not.
Did the Eagles have a better offseason and draft than the Dallas Cowboys? Yes. But again, Richard. Yes. The games weren't played until September. No. So much can happen between now and September.
Right, but they also had a better regular season than two key. They also had a better, you know what I mean? They had a better offseason. They had a better regular season. They had a better draft.
Well, I don't know that they had a better regular season. They lost six of the last seven games. I don't know if that's a better.
Yeah, but I mean, we talk about at the end of the day, it is what it is. You know what I mean? Dallas stumbled into the. To the two seed, and, you know, we talk about that all day.
So much for that.
What I'm saying. Right.
So all last year, I told you guys again and again and again, even when they rose to 10-1, the Eagles' defense is way overrated. It's torchable. I will not say that going into next year because they went and got C.J. Gardner-Johnson, and all I know is everywhere he goes, good stuff happens because he knows where the football is, got a nose for the football, knows how to play football. And then you go out and you get Mel Kiper's top two corners, and we'll take a little bit of time. I thought the two that they had signed, the two incumbent corners, are a little overrated as they get up there in age. So I don't know if these
Slay
kids
and Bradbury.
Yeah, yeah. So I will these kids jump right into the starting lineup? They're talented enough to. So I'm just saying I won't be saying torchable going into next year. And Devin White won't hurt either at linebacker.
Right, right. They took care of the homegrown. They got Saquon. They got guys, I mean, I don't think you're going to replace two corners making over $11 million. You know, I think Slay's making $16 million this year. Bradbury's making $12 million. I don't think you're bringing two corners in to replace them. If you do that, then that kind of seems like a bad strategy in terms of running a team. But I think they've spent a lot of draft capital on corners. I think C.J. Gardner-Johnson had his best years in Philly. I think he should have never left. They should have never let him go.
Agreed.
They brought him back. He makes that defense a lot better. He makes that pass defense a lot better. But yeah, Skip, I don't think corner was a need for Dallas. You know,
no.
I think Dallas is going to get healthier, obviously, but I don't
and
think they
Gilly's
did enough.
Still available.
Right.
So they could always revisit that in a month.
But he made his trip to Charlotte and you're thinking, well, I don't know.
Everybody makes trips.
Okay.
Whenever you visit and you get out the building, that team's not going to sign you because you're gone now. You, if you're in the building and they sign you, that's different. But once you leave, you're not going back. It's just, it happens that way, Skip. It's just the reality of it.
All right. All I know is that every time I looked up, Philly was doing something great, not good, but great. And they re-signed everybody who mattered. Their two big offensive linemen, now their two receivers have been paid. And we still haven't paid CD, and then we got to deal with Micah, and I don't know what they're going to do with Dak. And the problem is, with when I look at Philadelphia versus Dallas, I still like Jalen Hurts more than I like Dak Prescott. I know he struggled down the stretch. They had some internal issues, but I'll take Jalen Hurts over Dak. So
Different style quarterback, man.
Yeah. You know? Well, who's better? Who would you take right
It's a different
right
style
now?
Quarterback.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Running, if I'm running with Philly's running, then I'm taking Jalen Hurts.
Okay.
And if I'm running with Dallas's running, I'm taking Dak.
Who would you bet on? Who would you rather have as your quarterback?
Dak.
Yeah, I think you'd
Dak,
rather have
the guy who
Jalen
was second
Hurts.
Team All Pro this year. I'm going,
most likely
I'm going with Dak.
Dak.
If, you,
yeah,
if you're Eagles fans, and like Keyshawn said, they lost six of the last seven, I know you would be on this show right now as an Eagles fan, Skip, saying you would rather have Dak over Jalen Hurts based off of how the season ended last year and what Dak did. So I guess it's all perspective.
Yeah, all I know is that Jalen Hurts lifted them into a Super Bowl and very, very nearly beat Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl.
That's true. Played
well enough to do just that.
That's true. One
glaring mistake in the second quarter that
Hassan Reddick went crazy.
Yeah.
And whatever that year he had, 13 sacks or whatever it was, the number, but he hit when he needed to, and your guys on your defensive side of the ball didn't hit when they needed to, and so therefore you were sent home.
Okay.
Early again.
All right. So my bottom line to what I'm looking at with the Dallas Cowboys, I don't even see a playoff roster, because I'm here to tell you the Washington Commanders just got a whole lot better in the draft and free agency, and they'll be a factor. Will they beat us one time? They probably will beat us one time. You love their young quarterback.
Can I ask you a question, Skip?
Yeah.
What you said, playoff roster.
Mm-hmm.
What team can you identify with a quarterback like Dak Prescott that did not make the playoffs?
From last year that did not make the playoffs?
Yeah, with a quarterback like Dak.
Think about it. I don't know.
Any team that has a Dak Prescott-type quarterback, you're going to make the playoffs.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
Don't tell me, Aaron Rodgers didn't play. He got hurt. But when you look at it, and don't tell me Joe Burrow, he got hurt. When you look at it, all teams that make the playoffs, Richard, they have Dak Prescott's. They just do.
Yeah, but how many?
They all do.
You know what the what is?
So
it? Every year there are six new playoff teams. Of those six who made the playoff don't make it the next year. Dallas is a candidate.
But they don't have quarterbacks like this.
They usually don't have quarterbacks, or they lose their quarterback.
Or they lose their quarterback, a la Cincinnati.
Mm.
Okay, so don't get all Dak Prescott. You can't do that, Skip, man.
Okay,
but like I told you at the end of the season, you'll be crying when that dude walk out the building and y'all don't sign him, because you can't tag him.
Mm-hmm.
He has a no-trade clause.
Yep.
So all of that, when he walk out the building and go get that bag from somebody else, and y'all sitting there looking at Trey Lance and Cooper Rush, oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Well, we'll be looking at no playoffs, and I think Cowboy Nation will be more than happy to let him walk. That's my
point. How you going to be looking at no playoffs?
You're not going to be looking at no playoffs, Skip. But you got to worry about the defense, because you've had a great defense under, and for everything y'all say about Dan Quinn, Dan has coached his behind off with his defense, and that's almost became an expectation that you're going to have great defense. That shouldn't be the expectation this year. You got to adjust to Zimmer's system. It may take a year, it may take 2 years, and you don't got that kind of time.
Yeah, and Jerry has drafted very well until a year ago when he took Mozzie Smith in the first round, and I just don't see
it. But Mozzie Smith, it's a different scheme now, Skip.
Okay. Well, that
he's somewhere. It's different with Zim than it is with Dan Quinn. Mm-hmm. Dan Quinn wants him to do something totally different than what Zim wants him to do. So Mozzie Smith may become an all-pro under Zim, where he may have been cut under Dan Quinn.
All right. So, Keyshawn, you say I'm always doomsaying about my Cowboys, but I'm not. I'm usually the other way around. 1 year ago right now, I was all in. I was bullish on this Cowboy defense, obviously, and Dak Prescott and the offense, until I saw what I saw last year.
Did y'all address?
I've seen enough.
Did y'all address every position y'all needed to except running back in the draft? It's a yes or no, Skip.
Every position we needed to with what?
tackle, edge rusher, corner, receiver. Y'all addressed it.
Okay.
So you should be happy.
You think Tyler Guyton will start at left tackle next year?
I don't know where he'll start.
I
don't know.
I'll bet he won't.
Well, he may not.
Yeah. Well,
but
that's
he
your
gives
first
you deck.
Yeah.
Oh, he's 29th in the draft, man. Okay.
By the way, Dak Prescott is 2-5 in the postseason, so wow. I can't wait for the playoffs.
There's a couple other quarterbacks I can name that records are very similar, but you feel a lot different about Skip.
One is Kirk Cousins, right? And we will talk about him in just a few minutes.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, you can save $20 on the Steel MS-162 or MS-170 chainsaw. Real Steel. Offer valid through June 30th, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Finally, now you Laker fans can get out your brooms to use on Paul Pierce's prediction that the Lakers would be swept by Denver for a second straight year, closed out at home again. Nope. This time, the Lakers actually tied the Nuggets in the fourth quarter. It was 28-all, which allowed the Lakers to hang on to an 11-point lead and to win 119-108. So, Paul, what was the biggest reason the Lakers proved you wrong?
You know what? I'm kind of happy that the Lakers won, because Lord knows what would we be talking about if LeBron and the Lakers got swept. It would have been pretty bad.
We
probably would have had about three blocks talking about that.
Yep.
So I'm happy that they actually.
So tomorrow we'll have four blocks.
Mm. Oh, yeah, because it's going to be over. But it would have been the A, B, C, D.
I just hope that LeBron has four blocks tonight, right? That would help.
But I'm happy that they show some pride. You know, like I said, we would have talked about this all day today. They show some pride, and that just shows you that these guys, you know, they can play. They won. Look at Skip. They won 136 minutes.
It's unbelievable.
They've been leading for 136.
I've never heard anything like this.
For 136 and a half minutes of the series out of 192. They've had the lead.
Yeah.
That's 71%, and they've only come away with one win. But I truly believe that the Lakers are going to revert back to who they were in 1, 2, and 3 games, 1, 2, and 3, and in the last 11 before that, to a team that's going to play well at the start. Denver's going to come out second half, get behind that crowd, and eventually win. So, but thank God that the Lakers show some pride. I mean, I'm actually happy. The role players won't play as well on the road as they do at home. Austin Reeves and D'Angelo are not getting 42 points in Denver. That's just not going to happen. You know, they play well at home. Usually your stars got to come up with a big effort. Now, for them to have a chance in Denver, LeBron's going to have to turn back the clock. And I've said this in numerous games in this series. I'm just not sure he has that left. I mean, we're asking a lot from a guy who's 39 years old, who's playing 40 minutes a night, who has to go into this altitude in Denver to say, hey, we need one of those special nights from you. So if he can't do it, and Anthony Davis is limited to so much he can do, although some days he does look like the best player in the world.
He does.
I mean, he looked like the best.
He was 11 to 17 with 20 plus rebounds. How could we compare?
I don't know exact averages that Anthony Davis averages. So he's probably in this series averaging 28 and 15. Isn't that crazy? He's doing what you want him to do. And that's crazy that he's not the best player in this series because they have no answer for the Joker. They have no answer for Michael Porter Jr. And if Murray played halfway decent, they would have lost. They would have got swept. So I don't expect Murray to come home and play like he did in L.A. I expect Denver to close it out, get behind that crowd early, create doubt, because those role players, when they start getting down and they start looking at the clock and you're down 5-6 and shots aren't falling and you know you need this game, they start getting tight. They start getting tight and they let go of the rope. So I expect that tonight, and I don't see the Lakers coming out of Denver with a win.
So do you see another double-digit Lakers?
I don't even know if they'll allow that. I think Denver, you know the funny thing, Skip? Denver hasn't even played good basketball to me. They haven't even played a good game yet. They've been down every game.
That ain't our fault. That's on them.
They haven't. That's a sign of a championship team when you don't play well and win. They're going to put together a game to where they're going to play well for four quarters.
Okay, so
you have to believe that.
Once again, Lakers are 7.5-point underdogs.
Yeah.
Do you think it's, what, 10, 12?
I think 10, 12, yep.
Okay.
Double figures. I think Denver finally puts together a good game to where they play well.
Okay. Would you give me 10 for one more game?
You got 10 for one more
Thank
game,
you.
Skip.
All right,
10
here we
for
go.
One more
I'm
game.
Two.
Ten, I'll give you 10 and a half.
10 and a half.
10 and a half. You
Thank
got
you.
It.
Man, okay, so it's 3-1. We down 3-1. We go to Denver tonight. We flew in there yesterday at some point. We didn't get swept. Okay?
That's why y'all satisfied. Y'all happy with that.
When your back is against the wall, sometimes your role players and players in general, they understand it's a one-and-done situation. Mm. So if you got a lead, in a double-digit lead at some point in time in the game, late in the game or in the third quarter, whatever, I believe the Lakers can hold on to that. I believe even though they're in Denver and the crowd can get in it, but the crowd also can be taken out of it.
Sure.
If that crowd is quiet for most of the night, it's going to be hard for them to get going, you know? And now all you got to do is do what you did the last several trips there, except close it out. Like you did in game five.
Mm-hmm.
Game four. Close it out. Just close it out.
Okay.
And bring it home at 3-2.
Yeah. That'd
be interesting. I believe they can. Paul doesn't.
Mm.
Think about it, Skip. In those games that we lost in this series, we was doing everything right up until such time we were not. And that was in the third quarters. And then all of a sudden in the fourth quarter. Even though they cut into the deficit and cut into the lead in the third quarter, we still was up in the fourth.
Mm-hmm.
We were still up.
You were.
Now we just got to expand those leads in the fourth quarter.
Okay.
That's all.
Okay. All right.
That's it.
So what did I see on Saturday night? I saw the magic recipe to break the spell.
No.
I did. No. I saw Anthony Davis through three quarters. He had 23 points and 19 rebounds and 5 assists.
Yeah.
That's through three quarters.
Yeah.
In the fourth quarter, he went quiet the way he's done several times. And he got one shot up the whole fourth quarter.
Once again.
One shot and he made it. He scored 2 total points, but he did have 4 rebounds. I'll give him that.
All
but
right.
The point was, I saw this guy named James finally put his head down in the fourth quarter and say, you cannot keep me from the basket, because I don't care what you say. We can talk about Ant-Man or whoever you want to talk about exploding to the basket.
Mm-hmm.
There's still nobody who can do it the way LeBron can, even at age 39 and year 21 at 6'9", 200. Well, what's Ant-Man at 6'4"?
Yeah.
Okay, we're talking about 6'9", whatever he is, 260, 270. Man, he can explode to the rack, and he's got it both ways because he's naturally born left-handed, so he's ambidextrous. He can score on you like crazy at the basket as long as he will quit shooting threes.
Right.
So he took one in the fourth quarter and missed it, and he scored 6 times at the basket for 14 points, and that held off Denver. That just held him off because that's all you needed to do was just match him. Go 28-28 in the fourth quarter, and you're going to win because you came in with an 11-point cushion.
Exactly.
You just need somebody to put their head down and say, that's enough. I'm not going to take this anymore. And you were at home, and you did get your crowd into it. But if we could see the 6 shots that LeBron made in the fourth quarter, this is just to remind everybody who might not have seen it on Saturday night, okay, that's just like, thank you. And then he back cut, and both of those are left-handed layups, and then a dunk. This is what I love. This is what he does best. And that'll work in there. That's a little Jordan-esque, a little late career Jordan. And then he makes his steal and his dunk. Okay, he can still do that. And then finally he says, you know what? That's like candy from a baby. Because Joker can't deal with that.
Well, that's been there all series.
Okay, it has been there.
Not in the fourth quarter.
It has been there.
Well, it's there if you want to take it.
If you put the Joker in pick and roll and you got LeBron in front of him, he can do that exact same layout. I don't know why they don't do that more. Like, Joker cannot stay in front of LeBron. And you not only put pressure on getting him in foul trouble.
Yep.
But you have to help with this. He can't move his feet at the level or elevate to block LeBron's shot. I thought just coming into the series, I thought that would be the game plan.
I agree.
Put Joker in as many pick and rolls with LeBron and attack him and put it. But when LeBron settles for all these threes or he makes these errant passes and doesn't try to just draw the foul, then you allow Joker to just play and you take pressure off of him. When I think that's the biggest key to beating Denver is putting pressure on Joker on the defensive end and pick and rolls. And I just haven't seen it enough. But we saw it there in the fourth quarter and it worked.
I got one more development. With about 2 minutes to go Saturday night, Jamal Murray came down a little funky and he somehow strained his calf on his left foot.
Third calf strain of this playoffs.
Yep, and they are listing him as questionable for tonight. Okay, is it possible that he's a little gimpy on it, that he's not trusting it, that it's going to bother him tonight? Is that possible?
Even if Jamal Murray doesn't play, I truly believe that the Denver home court, like we say, role players play well at home.
Yeah.
So even if you have to go with Reggie Jackson and Christian Brown, to you know, like they both have 0 points. You won't see that tonight. You won't see them score 0 points at home. They'll get more minutes. They'll have more impact. Even Peyton Watson. You know, they've been scored 5 points. That just won't happen at home. So that will make up for if Jamal Murray can't play. When you get 5 points at home, Jamal Murray gives you 22. I account their bench to give you at least 15 to 18 points tonight.
Even if he played, though, he's going to be sore.
Yeah, that's fine. But the bench makes up for it. The bench gave you 5 points. At home, they'll give you 18. So that's going to make up. The home crowd is going to make up for their lack of production.
But what if they don't?
They will. It just happens.
What if they don't?
Well, I know one thing ain't going to happen. I know Austin Reeves ain't going to have 21, and D'Lo ain't going to have 21 also. I know that ain't going to happen.
Well, D'Lo shot the ball well in game two.
I get it.
In game two, on the road, he shot the ball well in game two.
Mm.
On the road.
If you guys get 42 points out of them, you guys are going to win. But I just don't see it in back-to-back nights.
Keyshawn, am I talking you back into this? Right?
In back-to-back games.
Oh, I'm never, even though I feel, I'm not like you, Skip.
Wait, you said just even one topic feel, ago, you said the Lakers are done.
Even though I may say that and I feel that way, I may say it out loud, like, oh, man, we done, but I don't really believe that.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm going to believe it till it's over, till they back on the plane.
Hey.
You want to bet a dinner on it?
No, I don't want to bet no dinners.
You don't believe.
You should be worried about Boston.
What am I worried about? We won by 20 last game. What are we worried about?
Lost the game before.
You know how many games we won in a row,
man? Come on, man, stop.
Going back to last year's playoffs, we're comfortable down there.
Mm. Okay.
We're somewhere on South Beach with our feet up.
Okay,
we're comfortable.
We'll see what happens. We will see what happened in game four.
We win in Miami.
Yeah.
Like, we lost the series last year, but we went down to Miami and won 3 games last year.
Wow.
And that's you still lost the series.
But
you should just worry about the Celtics, man.
Mm.
Nothing to worry about right now.
And hope that y'all don't see the Knicks.
Nothing to worry about right now.
Keyshawn, are you smelling a Laker upset tonight? That's what I want to know.
I feel like they're going to win tonight.
They got the, the code. They did what? They cracked the code.
Even though Paul want to keep screaming about the altitude, this is the third trip in a week and a half that they've been in the altitude.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they would be okay going back in there in this game opposed to when the series first started. And even so, they still was balling except up until...
Because they cracked the code now, huh?
Well, I mean, I don't think Skip said cracked the code.
That's what Darvin Ham said, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think they cracked the code.
Game two, what was it, 20-point lead? 20?
They've been up 20. That's the second 20.
You go up 20 tonight, they will close that deal.
That's what I'm telling you, Lakers.
Man, I watched the game. No, can y'all tell me this? Watching the game, you know, the Lakers, even when they was up 20, I wasn't comfortable.
You wasn't comfortable because they surrendered.
I was like, you know what?
They're
going to find a way to get us back to Denver somehow.
I would agree.
Especially in the third quarter. You didn't feel good, even though they had a lead. Right? I'm looking like, man, Denver going to come back. You know, I'm like, yeah, they'll come back. They just present that aura, and they've done it multiple times on the Lakers. So even if the Lakers go up, the Lakers got to go up 30 points today.
Man,
then I'll be like, all right.
Man, get us out of here, please. Now we got to go up 30 to win.
You got to go 30 to points to win.
What if Jamal is hobbled? What if he's hobbled tonight?
That's fine. They have enough. They have enough to get one game without him.
I don't think so.
They played a lot of this year without him.
When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place, whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this: crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right. Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me. That's right. VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to 5 times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew, ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids, just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel.
All right, let's get back to the National Football League. Many draft analysts criticized the Atlanta Falcons for taking Michael Penix Jr. with the 8th overall pick after guaranteeing Kirk Cousins $50 million a year for each of the next 2 seasons. Falcons were routinely given one of the lowest draft grades because of taking Penix. Cousins' agent said on Thursday night that Kirk was a bit confused about this move, but yesterday Penix said Cousins did call him to clear the air. Raheem Morris assured the media that Cousins will be the starting quarterback. So on Friday on this show, Michael Irvin, Keyshawn, and I all applauded the Falcons for taking Penix. So Richard, we need your opinion. Go.
Skip, I think Penix, you know, I'm in Seattle, Washington, so we get to see a lot of them, obviously. The world got to see a lot of them because they went to the national championship. He led that team. He led college football in passing. He is a phenomenal player and deserved to be picked at this spot. Mm. It just wasn't the right team. I don't understand the team that picked him.
Yeah.
I understand the pick. I understand the quality of player he is. He's definitely a top 10 pick, and he should have been. But if you're the Atlanta Falcons, you have other holes in this roster. You have, if you would have took Rome Odunze, people would have applauded you. You would have said, hey, you need more receivers, quality receivers. Cool, we understand that. If you would have took a tackle, then we would have understood that. If you would have took a corner, we would have understood that. If you would have waited later, maybe pick 14, 15, and took him, then you understand that. You could say, hey, you do sit a quarterback. I mean, Patrick Mahomes sat behind Alex Smith as a top 10 pick, but that was a very unique situation. Usually a quarterback that's going to sit behind is picked 20 or later, you know, and then they have time. You can justify, hey, how much you're paying him. You're going to sit maybe a year, maybe 2 years. You've seen it done in Green Bay. Then you can justify that. But having a guy, paying a guy $100 million guaranteed in Kirk Cousins, and then bringing a guy in that's a top 8 pick, to definitely sit behind him. There's no way you play him. There's no way he plays over Kirk Cousins this year. Is a head scratcher on a roster that has a new head coach, a defensive minded head coach. I would have thought you went corner or pass rusher. Obviously, there's not a ton of great pass rushers in this, but you could have traded back. There's a lot of things you could have done instead of picking a quarterback that you don't necessarily need. Now, sure, you're keeping him away from other teams. You're keeping him away from Minnesota. You're keeping him away from the Saints. You're keeping him away from but you didn't need him.
You know, there's a need, there's a want. They wanted Michael Penix. Did they need Michael Penix this year? No. Do they need him next year? Maybe, maybe not. This year, they certainly didn't. Mm. And I hear everybody's, you know, not necessarily complaining, but questioning the moves that Atlanta made at the quarterback position because they guaranteed $100 million. It's a two-year deal. It's not a four-year deal. It's a two-year deal. $50 million a year is what he's going to get. Starting quarterback money and free agency for the most part in the National Football League. Is Kirk Cousins going to be able to hold him off beyond 2024? Maybe. Maybe. I've seen quarterbacks selected high and sit. I watched Carson Palmer sit behind John Kitna. And Carson Palmer was the number one overall pick. And he sat behind him because that's just, I've seen Dante Culpepper sit. I mean, I've seen quarterbacks that are drafted high in the first round sit for a year or two, and that's okay. I don't think beyond 2025 they had any major plans for Kirk Cousins. And then you say, well, hey, they had other needs. Well, they addressed those other needs with the second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth round picks. Okay, after Michael Penix, they had seven picks after Michael Penix. They drafted five defensive players after that, Skip. Mm-hmm. So that tells me right then and there, they didn't want to pass up on a quarterback they can get this year, opposed to waiting 2 years from now, a year from now, and not knowing what's on the board when they had an opportunity to grab a guy that could potentially turn into something for him. And we don't know what these quarterbacks are going to be. Hell, for all we know, he could be the worst guy that ever was picked in the National Football League, or he could be the best guy to ever pick. We have no idea. They're willing to take that opportunity and that chance with this young team that Kirk Cousins is right now. They're ready to win right now. There's not a defensive player on the board, nor is the Atlanta Falcons one defensive player away from going to the Super Bowl. Mm. It's just not. So they made the right move at the quarterback spot, man. It's just hard to find QBs in this league.
But I just feel like for what you're saying, again, Kirk Cousins could have used another weapon, and there was a receiver right there that also went to UW.
He got four wideouts already. How many more does he need?
What, name them. You got Drake London. You got Darnell Mooney.
You got Kyle Pitts
as a tight end.
That's it.
As a tight end.
You're not going to waste the first round pick again on another receiver. That would be three number ones in your starting lineup, and then you just signed Darnell Mooney. You're just not going to do it. It makes zero sense.
Right, but it makes as much sense as a quarterback after you just paid one $100 million guaranteed. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If you're going to be a luxury pick, at least have a luxury pick that's going to get to play this year.
Mm. No, I wouldn't. I think they did the right move getting Michael Penix.
Okay. Do you believe in him, Keyshawn?
Absolutely. 100%.
So okay. I believe in him so deeply that I told you and Michael Irvin the day before the draft, I had him as my third best quarterback behind the obvious first two. Now, Atlanta is now saying that they had Michael Penix Jr. ranked second on their board behind Caleb and above Jaden Daniels. So you won't agree with that, Keyshawn, right?
No. Everybody's boards are different. Okay.
And I don't know if that's true, but that's what they are now saying publicly.
It may be true.
It may be.
It may be true.
Okay. So they say that they went to his pro day, and then they went back for an Atlanta-only session with Michael Penix Jr. up in Seattle. Raheem went, and Raheem said he played linebacker as Michael Penix was throwing, and he said he could just hear the football whistling over his head. Well, and they decided he has rare, special arm talent, because he does, but we could see that at Indiana. And I thought he had a rare year last year because I was pushing for him to win the Heisman over Jaden Daniels. I got no problem with Jaden winning it, but I thought Michael Penix, because they were undefeated at that point, deserved it just on team accomplishment. He carried them to an undefeated season. So I'm with the idea of, take him with the eighth overall pick. The problem is you didn't have a plan. You don't have a master plan. You don't have a grand plan because surely, you went cart before horse because you'd already given Kirk Cousins $100 million guaranteed dollars.
Yeah, but that's for now, Skip,
okay?
but for two years.
What I'm saying is, you didn't see Michael Penix coming at the end of the college season. You didn't see
him
coming.
Kirk Cousins' free agency happens before they start evaluating the players.
But you should listen. Your scouts should already be saying, hey, Michael Penix is serious business, right?
Yeah, like, they probably were, Skip. Yeah. But remember what I always tell you. You got to believe me and trust me here. The first time that coaches, general managers, presidents of teams have an opportunity to lay eyes on these guys and feel them and touch them is at All-Star games. And if they don't play in the All-Star games, it's the combine. And then from the combine, it's the pro day.
No, but the Howie Rosemans will go to games during the year.
No, but that's different than me talking to you.
Yeah.
When I go to the game, I don't have a feel for you because I can't talk to you.
No.
I can't sit down on the board and go X and O with you.
You can see it.
But plenty of general managers go to games. But at the end of the day, the general manager is not the – outside of Jerry Jones, the general managers are not – maybe Howie Roseman. But for the most part, they're not the sole guys that sign off. They need to get the input from the quarterback coach, the head coach, the receiver. I mean, they need to get input on what it is that they're looking at. So when you go into free agency, which is before the draft, before the evaluation period really gets going, they can't say, oh, well, we don't need to sign Kirk Cousins. We can just go wait for Penix.
Okay, but wouldn't you have some idea?
That's what I'm saying. In order to pay him $100 million guaranteed, I hear you saying it's a two-year deal. That is definitely true in this situation. When it's whatever the guaranteed money is, that's how long the deal is expected. I understand that. But he's coming off an Achilles injury. You paid him maximum quarterback money. And then everybody's seeing a viral clip of Terry Fontenot having to explain to Arthur Blank what just happened.
Man, y'all need to stop, man.
Look,
he wasn't explaining
I hear
that
what
to
you're
Arthur
saying.
Blank.
I'm not going to say, I don't know what the conversation is, but I also can't say he's not explaining it because it looks like there's concern there.
Time out. Yahoo reported just this morning that Arthur Blank actually was on the call to congratulate Michael Penix on being taken because he was all in on the decision. He'd been a part of.
I said several days ago when it happened, Skip, Arthur Blank signed off on it way beforehand.
Had to.
Okay? 100%.
Yeah.
You don't take a first-round pick, a quarterback especially, without talking to the owner. It just doesn't happen like that.
Not like
that. So I love the fact the viral clip, though,
it looks
certainly
like it.
Made it seem as though older guy had no clue.
Yeah.
Right. He said, wait a minute. Now you said 25. Now, wait, what? What are we doing with this?
Yeah.
But I'm saying Michael Penix definitely had the talent. I don't understand why he wasn't in the top five in general. That's not, I don't think that's in any question. I feel like there are other holes in that roster that could have been filled, a more immediate need. Kirk Cousins is a really good quarterback, but if he's not upright, nobody's good. And so I think offensive line, defensive line, pass rusher is always at a premium. So I just felt like there were other things that could have been done. But you're right, Michael Penix is a talent. And if they expect to be a good team, they probably won't be picking this high again anytime soon. They won't be picking this high in the next 2 years if Kirk plays well. So I can see that kind of development. My brain, the cogs are moving now. That it could make sense.
Don't let me convince you, man. They addressed.
I'm trying to convince myself.
Skip, they addressed all of the other needs that everybody was running around with five of the seven picks after Michael Penix.
Yeah, I don't know.
In fact, they even got a receiver in this draft.
Mm-hmm.
So they addressed everything. I don't understand that everybody's like, oh, they gave him $100 million. It's not about this year. It's not about next year. Now, could he play next year if all of a sudden Kirk Cousins starts to look in the middle of the year like a slappy? Of course he can play.
What if Kirk's not ready for game one with his Achilles?
You got a quarterback right there that is ready.
So, yeah. My biggest problem with this whole scenario is Kirk Cousins, I'm just not a big fan of. I just never been sold on him. I know he has great stints and great sort of streaks in the regular season, but in the postseason, he's won one playoff game. I don't know.
He's won less than that.
Yeah, that's right. Well, thank you. Touché.
Skip, I can name a lot of great quarterbacks right now that don't have five playoff wins, that don't have as many playoff wins as Brock Purdy. But, we don't want to go down that road, Skip. Let's not judge everybody by playoff wins. Kirk has played really great during the regular season.
He has.
Just like Lamar, like Josh, the rest of these guys. Give him his credit.
Yeah. Okay.
Leave Lamar alone, man. You're not going to do that. MVP.
I put Josh. I put all of them in there, y'all. Look.
All right. So we have decided that Michael Penix Jr. was a good pick by the Atlanta Falcons.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. I agree.